A little technical difficulty there with the news, like it wasn't loaded this morning. So, therefore, the news is this. Today is step one of impact. 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock. If you are a guest with us today or new or have never been through what we call impact, you can come today at 5 o'clock and learn all about our church. You learn really basically how we operate and how we work. And the main thing is, you can learn how you can be a part of what God is doing here if that is something you're looking for and want to be a part of. In fact, if you're new with us and never have before, can we just welcome all of our guests, all of our new people? We have some first-time folks here today. I can't see any of you much, but I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Can we welcome our online church while we're at it? Let's do that as well. Glad you guys are here. And so as far as the you new guys or folks that never have before, I would love it. I would appreciate it very much if in the chair in front of you, just pull that connection card out, take the pen out of that little pouch, fill that connection card out. We'd love to connect with you and let you know what's going on, what God is doing here, how you can come and be a part of that. A lot of really great, great things going on in our church. At 6 o'clock tonight, our Soul on Fire team, that is our drama group, they're going to be here to perform. I have no idea what, I got a little bit of an idea what they're doing, but I don't want to share anything too much, but it's going to be awesome and amazing. Be here at 6. If you're coming for Impact, all the Impact team, by the way, just to let you know, we're going to be meeting in the teen room for Impact tonight so they can be getting ready in here. So, anything I missed on the news? Chelsea, are we good? Is that everything? Oh, I did good. Yay, Keith! He did great today. Awesome, awesome. Y'all ready for some word? Y'all sound like it. Yeah, oh, we're good. Yeah, a little word. Oh, man, a little golf clapping today. A little golf clapping today. Has anybody seen a victory in their life this week? Come on, has anybody had something in your life happen this week that you'd love to share about? We'd love to hear about that. So please, just line up right over here. And just, no, I'm kidding. We won't do that to you. They're like, no, I didn't have anything. I'm good. You know, whatever. No, it's really, really awesome to see how God is working in people's lives throughout the week. And I get calls all the time. People say, hey, this is what happened in my life. Or this is what's about to happen in my life. I'd love to share some of those things, but I don't feel at liberty to do that because I hadn't asked permission. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people doing some really, really great things for God in our community right here from Discovery Church. You know how when you see something in your life and you're greatly impressed by it, you sometimes will exclaim this idea of, man, that is out of this world. That is incredible. Some of the stuff on these reels, I mean, that people do, these crazy feats of whatever it is, feats of strength, feats of, you know, whatever, just feats, you know, whatever. come on, y'all gonna have to laugh a little bit. I'm gonna be up here an hour and a half, all right? Come on. But we see that and we go, man, that was just out of this world. When you live for Jesus, man, you are living not of this world. It's not really out of this world. We're not out of the world. Jesus prayed for his disciples and he said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. We have to be an influence right where we are. Are y'all hearing me? Come on, y'all. We have to be an influence right where we are. And if we're not, then we're not really living the transformed life that I'm going to be talking about today. And I really want to try to really focus a little bit stronger even on this Colossians series. We're doing a series here called The Supremacy of Christ. And if Christ is supreme in your life, if he's number one, if everything about him permeates and affects and touches every part of your life and you're allowing him to rule that, then he is supreme in your life. And if he's not, then there's something has happened in your transformation. I don't know what that is. Because transformation means, it literally means I was this way, now I am this way. I'm completely different than I was before. I'm a complete different person. And I've had a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of thinking. I have been transformed. And that's really what this series is about. And Colossians 3 is going to get into some real practical stuff today about how we can live this transformed life. You guys who are notes takers, y'all pull out the notes and you'll be, somebody came in today earlier and said, hey, we got blanks. Oh, we got blanks today. Yeah, we got blanks. It's not just a whole sheet of paper of blanks. You got something to fill in today and that makes note takers happy. They're excited. And so I said, I get paid by the blank. And Liz said, well, you need to put some more blanks up in there. So you need to put there's more blanks on the paper. Oh, my goodness. But, dude, man, grab those notes. We're going to go through and learn some stuff today from this beautiful, amazing chapter in this really, really awesome book. I've actually added a message to this series. We're going to do five It's going to actually be 6 messages. I think that's correct. And really, it's one of those things where when you go through this, you see the richness of, I could preach on every verse, really. I mean, there's just so much good stuff. And this text today is that way. It's really about transforming. When Jesus is supreme, number one is our thinking changes. Our thinking changes. You have to think differently than where you are. Paul says in this book, he says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights. Everybody say, set your sights. Set your sights. You got to aim for something. You got to set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Just that verse alone is just replete with theology and ideas about where Jesus is and what he's doing, and he's reigning supreme. But if you're going to let Christ transform your life, then the first thing you have to do is set your sight, set your thinking. Verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven. Some of your translations actually say, set your affections on things above, not things that are on the earth, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That idea of think about things here is the idea of not just going, I think I'll just think about this today. Like Gomer did, I'll take a think under here. I'll just think about it. And if you don't know that joke, you won't. It's okay. Just thinking, just the idea of thinking about, it's not talking about it. It's looking intently. It's seeing something and focusing on something so intently that it's got your attention so much that nothing else around you gets any attention at all. Have you ever been trying to talk to somebody and they're on their phone or they're in a screen or they're watching a TV show? Ladies, if you walk into the living room and the husband is in the chair watching the ball game and you ask him a question, he will not hear what you're saying. His mind is focused. And you guys who went through waffles and spaghetti with us know that if we're in our TV box, it's hard to get us out of that. So get us out of the box, and then you can communicate. And what I'm trying to get you to see is if your mind is not focused on Christ, then the devil's going to give you all kinds of stuff around you to focus on. He says, think on the things of heaven. He says, why? Because your real life. Everybody say real life. What is your real life? What are you really like? Do people who know you best, who know you when nobody else is looking but them, know that you are the same there as you are here, or the same there as you are anywhere? And the idea of being real, our real life is hidden with Christ in God. All the rest of it's cotton candy and fake. And so many times we flip that over and make this the life that's just what we do. We walk in on Sunday, we do our thing, we walk out, and we're back to real life. We say, I got to go back to the real life. Living the dream, sarcastically we say. Well, the dream is in Christ. That's where we ought to be living our best life. He goes on to say, and when Christ, and I love this phrase, who is your life. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you hear the trumpet sound and the shout and you see Jesus literally for the first time and you're going, oh my faith was worth it. Oh my, it's coming to fruition. It's happening right now. I mean, I'm walking in to the city. I'm walking into this place. God has converted this whole place and it's all new and brand new. And everything that was here, that was here, is gone. That was of the devil. And he cannot have any power over you ever again. Come on, somebody. That is so much better than anybody in this room is reacting right now. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see my Jesus face to face. And all the gold streets and all the mansions and all the stuff and the fishing's always going to be good and every hit's going to be a home run or whatever. However you envision heaven, none of that stuff matters compared to standing in the presence of the one who stood in my presence, in my place, and died for me. Standing in the presence of him and seeing the Son for the first time and being able to say to him, thank you, Jesus, face to face, and look him dead in the eye and say, I love you so much. I cannot believe I'm here. It's so amazing. And begin that journey with him in that place. He's saying that if Jesus is your life, you've already started that. For years we thought, heaven's about what's going to happen out there. Eternal life, y'all, John says that I write to you so that you may know that you have, present tense, eternal life. We have it now. We have it to the full. filled with the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And I'm telling you, this glory thing, sharing in His glory, I'll just be the first one to tell you, describing that is like trying to describe the universe to an ant. You could talk about it all day long, and you get to the end of it, and you're still going, what does glory actually mean? It's brightness, it's beauty, it's amazing, it's all these things. And I believe mostly glory is presence. It's presence. We're literally in the presence of our Father. It literally means, the word doxa here, the Greek word for glory, literally means a thing belonging to God. Amen. You belong to God. We used to sing it. Y'all remember, you guys in the CFC, remember, I belong to Jesus, I belong to Him. Oh man, we would rock the world with that song. I belong to Him. And not of this world, not of this world. So since it's true, that Paul is going to give us some lists. Some lists that since you are now living in Christ, and you are with Christ, and you're living for the glory of Christ, and He permeates every part of your life, some things are going to change. And that number two point here is our old self dies. Our old self dies. You can't carry around your old self. You can't just drag him along saying, if I have to revert back to him, you know, I've got him right here. It's just, it's all dead weight. He says, here's the way Paul describes it. He says, so put to death the sinful earthly things, and I love this in the New Living Translation, that are lurking within you. What is that thing in your life that's just lurking? You know it's just hanging around waiting for a weak moment to crop its head up and go, hello. Just want to remind you I'm still here. And he's saying you have to kill that thing. You have to put that thing absolutely to death. Have nothing to do with. That doesn't mean dabble a little bit in it. That doesn't mean kind of just, you know, have a little bit of it over here, but none of it over there. And close every door in your house and leave every window open. That's not how you deal with the enemy. He's saying, shut all the windows, shut all the doors, pray him out of there. Every time you walk into your doors, bring Jesus inside the room with you verbally. Say, Lord, you are welcome here and the devil is not. And keep praying and talking and thinking about Jesus. That's him permeating our lives. And that's us putting to death. And he gives a list, sexual immorality. I didn't look up the Greek word, but I'm going to guess, and you guys who are scholars can tell me, I think it's the Greek word porneo here. It's the idea of sexual misconduct outside of marriage, a man and a woman married for life. That's where sexuality is free and open and good and right, and everywhere else it is immoral. Come on, boy, the room got so quiet. If Brandon's statistics that he gave during freedom are correct, then there's like 80% of us have dabbled in or looked at or been around or done something with porneo. Porneo. And people in our culture call it harmless, and God calls it immorality. Oh, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not messing with anybody. Yes, you are. And I'm telling you, he says, stay, have nothing to do with it. Impurity, lust, and evil desires. All these things are connected to that person that Jesus, through Paul, is saying, you have to put that person down. That person has to be dead to you. No longer any power over you at all. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I have to pronounce it out loud. Nope, I'm not going back to that guy. And I'm not even going to try to qualify that anymore. Just stay away from that. And then he goes on and picks a little bit more. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. When you hold on to everything you have, anything you and I have has been meant for us to give it away. And when we hang on to it and we hoard it, and we've seen the ravages of what that does to people in this world. And don't think that just because you don't have a house full of stuff that you don't need, most of us do, by the way, have a lot of stuff that we don't even need or use. It's a just-in-case thing. We've got 94 pillows in our house, or 95 now. We bought another one yesterday. And look at Liz, like, what do we need all these pillows for, you know, kind of thing. And it's like I had pillows, and when we got married, she brought pillows with her, and they're everywhere. Y'all remember, you Star Trek fans, y'all remember Tribbles, the trouble with Tribbles? Y'all remember that episode, the little fuzzy things? All they did was eat and multiply. That's pillows in my house. There's clothes in my closet. Not now. I got some out there having a yard sale in a couple weeks. I got some. I'm just saying, y'all, come on. This idea of hoarding and hanging on to and keeping and all this stuff. You guys don't realize we have security cameras all over this place, and there are people that come by our dumpster every night raising the lid to look in to see if there's anything that they need out of that dumpster. Living their life. You say, well, they made the choice to be that way. Listen, I don't care why they're there. I'm just saying that people are hungry and people are looking and whatever. And this concept of greed and holding on to things of this world, it smacks against what I need to be doing for Jesus, and that is making Him full of every part of my life. He says, you used to do these things. I'm sorry, I back up. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. We skip verses like that now. Since we're grace-oriented people, we skip verses like that. We say, that because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. If you killed your son for me and I snubbed my nose at you, how would you feel about it? When someone sacrifices for me, it's a gratitude thing. Hey, man, I'm so honored. Thank you. Thank you. And to snub something like that. And I just wonder how God sees it sometimes. Yes, there's people just, I know Jesus, but I'm just not going to do that just yet. I'm not going to follow Him today. Not right now. I'm just going to snub it one more time. And you have eternal life in the palm of your hand. And you just walk away from it again. Y'all, today you're going to have an opportunity to accept Christ. You're going to have an opportunity to come and be a part of His family and be a part of His kingdom. Be baptized if you want to. Whatever it is we can do to help you find one step closer to Jesus, we're going to try to do today. Already have through worship. But He said, listen, these things push against the anger of God, and it's coming. It's coming. And by the way, can I just say the anger of God was satisfied in Jesus? That glory, that whole thing where God's not stomping around in heaven going, "Hey, Keith, messed up again. I'm all twisting." That's not what this is about at all. He's saying, once you choose my son, once you choose Jesus, you choose the preeminence of Christ in your life, everything else pales in comparison to even get close to who He is in your life. And I can't believe that you would choose cotton candy, Keith. I can't believe you would choose cotton candy when I'm giving you nutrition, when I'm giving you the best, and you choose the fluff of this world. And you know how it feels when you fall into that temptation and you give in again and you mess up again. And the first thing you say is, "I'm just a poor old sorry wretch. I'm terrible. You start beating yourself down and shaming yourself and telling you all the things that God is sitting there going, "No, you're not. You're my son. No, you're not. You're my son. You messed up. I love you. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. You moved, but I ain't moving." That's the preeminence of Christ in my life. And it's worth giving up everything in this world. And He gives us this list. He said, you used to do these things. You used to do these things. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's you. That used to be me." Y'all scared to even say that, aren't you? I wonder sometimes when I tell you, look at your neighbor and say something like that, if you say, "Ooh, but yesterday." You know, sometimes it's hard for me to look at somebody and go, "That used to be that way." Because, man, you get, "I used to do these things." Your life was still a part of the world, but now He said it's time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, "The Bible don't talk about dirty language." I said, I love it when agnostic and atheists try to open the Bible up and talk to me about it. It's like me trying to explain to you quantum physics. They don't know what they're talking about. God is not saying if you say a cuss word, you're going to hell. God is saying if you say a cuss word, that's against the nature of Christ who's in you. That's against everything that you are. If you use this kind of stuff and you say these things and you don't think about them anymore. And by the way, language is hard for me. When I was in high school, man, everybody said all these things. And I listen now. You cannot watch movies anymore. You cannot watch any, even on regular TV anymore. It's GD this and F that and all these words. And they're just filling their mind with all this stuff. And we said, "Well, that's just words. It don't hurt anybody." It smacks against the nature of Christ who is in me. So, yes, it hurts. And it frustrates. And it's scary how much we just allow this stuff just to come into our lives. Every time you hand your child a screen, Every time you hand your child a computer, every time you hand your child an iPad or a notepad or whatever pad you have, whatever it is you carry, and you hand it to this child, you give him or her access to all this stuff in a click of a button. If you don't think they know what they're doing, you are blind. Blind. God, help us. God, help us not to close the doors and leave the windows up. Don't lie to each other. For you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Look at all these things he equates to wickedness and all the frustrations. Why is he saying this? It's because it smacks against the supremacy of Christ who you are. That's who you are. He said, you are in Christ. That's who you are. If that's who you are, then these things, when you do slip up and you mess up, you feel something. It's called godly sorrow. And you say, Lord, I am sorry. And you walk away from that again. And it's this cycle. If you read Romans 7, Paul said he cycled through it all the time. Struggled with wanting to do things he shouldn't be doing and struggled with things that you read the book, in the chapters. I always get that messed up. But he's struggling with it. You know, this is not like, I'm not back in my old-fashioned preaching. If you do this, you do this, and you do that, you're going to be lost. Stop worrying about being lost. If you have Christ as preeminent in your life, he just said that you're going to experience the glory of God one day. Come on, man. We don't have to worry about all that stuff. And if you don't have Christ in your life, then yes, you need to be concerned. Deeply concerned. Your eternal life matters more than any cotton candy the devil can throw out in front of you in this world. Any of it. Don't sell your soul to the enemy for morsels, for the little stuff. Man, didn't mean to get that hard, but hey, I'm just reading the word. Just reading the word, man. Because here's the thing. Here's the opposite of that. Our old self dies. Our new self lives. Come on, y'all. We have a life to live. We're not just taking something out and stopping all these things and quitting all this stuff and putting all this stuff behind us. We don't just take things off. We put things on. We put things in. We have to change nature. Someone says it's like a brain transplant. You got to cut it right here, take this one out, and put Jesus' brain in there and start thinking as he does. Our new self lives. He says, put on your new nature and be renewed. I love this text. He doesn't say be renewed in a snap of a finger and you got it all right, you got it all figured out. He says, no, he says, be renewed as you learn, and not as you learn to know the rules of the Bible so that you don't mess up. That's what I thought we were supposed to learn. You learn the rules of the Bible, the do's and don'ts. You don't do the don'ts and you do the do's and don't. You know what I'm talking about, right? And once you figure all that out, then you're the most right you can possibly be. And if you die on a really good day, then God is not mad at you and he's going to let you into heaven. That was my theology. It's not what that says. He says to renew, to know your Creator. You know why I'm diving so deeply? I believe in the Holy Spirit and trying to figure out who he is and what he needs to do in my life and be in my life and how I need to have a relationship with him. Is because that's part of knowing my Creator. Creator. I want to know him. And not only know him, he says, and become like him. This is the process of what we call sanctification. It's the idea of allowing God to come into our lives and say, okay, I need you to nudge me and help me and move me along and do all these. I need you, Lord. Every day I say, Lord, I need your presence. If I could just have one prayer, I guess that would be my prayer. I need your presence, Lord. I need you more than I need anything else. Period. And he says, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more do I know how to give to you if you ask for the Holy Spirit? So I'm asking every day. He says, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, free, and we could go on with that with our list of stuff in our culture. It doesn't matter who you are. doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your creed, it doesn't matter your sex, it doesn't matter your church, it doesn't, all of these things that we put so much stock in our identity. The thing about our identity is our identity has to line up with Jesus. And so wherever you are in all of that realm, he gives a list here in the Bible that we, I don't know, Jew, Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, all these things. Just understand that Jesus, Paul's trying to get these people in the Greek culture to say that everybody gets in. He's trying to get the Jewish people to understand everybody gets in. If you come to Christ, you're in. You're in. Nobody's left out. But the but of all of that is that it's Christ in you that matters. He goes on to say, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in us all. When people point at Christians and say, you're just judgmental, and you're just phobic this, and you're just mad at this, and you're just mad people, part of it's because some Christians are just mad, and they're throwing a fit, and they all tore up. Y'all, I'm going to say this much, and that's all I'm going to say about this, but I am so sick of people who are so trusting and who sits in the White House that they're all tore up over that. You know what's going to happen after November and we elect a president? The next day, the world's going to keep right on moving, just like it always is. You know what my barber said? I asked him about it because I thought a barber's got to be talking about politics. And he said, and I love Lex. He's great. He said, nope, not me. He said, I say just enough to keep them guessing. He said, because I've learned in my business, I can't make anybody mad. And he said, the day after the election, I'll still be cutting hair. Y'all, listen, if people don't get Jesus in their life, if whoever's sitting on the throne of the White House don't get Jesus in his or her life, then that's a bigger problem than whether they're, you know, blue or red or whatever all this other stuff is. And I'm just fed up with it. Anyway, is that enough said about that? Bless you. That sneeze is my cue to move on past that subject. Yo, we treat it like it's, and it's not unimportant, okay? Go vote. It is important. I want our economy better, and I want our leadership to be good and right and love everybody. I want all of that stuff. But we have to not. We got to stop posting stuff as believers on our Facebook page. I saw a post. I don't even know who posted it. Somebody texted it to me. I didn't see who posted it. If it was you, then I'm just sorry. You're going to have to hear this. It just said that Jesus went before a false trial as well, and he got convicted. Comparing what happened to Donald Trump to Jesus Christ. God help us. God help, come on, can y'all just say that with me? God help us, please. I'm comparing nobody to Jesus Christ but Jesus. Not me, not you, nobody. So if we're going to post anything, I suggest don't post it. That's what I suggest, but you know, that's up to you. Pray about it before you hit send. Why don't we just post Jesus as Lord? That he's the focus. Can I get off of that now? I'm sorry. I did not. That was not in my notes. I'm just ready for us to change the view in our culture back to God and become God-fearing like we say we're supposed to be. Verse 12 says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. You can stop right there and preach on just clothe yourselves, right? I'm not going to do that. Some do. They need to. But he's saying, clothe yourselves with some things. What about putting on tender mercy and kindness? Why not being humble and be gentle? When somebody disagrees with you, how about humility and gentleness instead of rage and anger? And patience. He says, make allowance, and y'all, I need this from you. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And that there's no except clause there. He doesn't say forgive anyone that offends you except for this person that did that, because that's really unforgivable. You know why he didn't say that? is because Jesus looked off the cross and said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If we're going to be permeated by and supremacy is Christ going to be in our life, then we forgive that way. We love that way. As he goes on to say, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. No except clause. And above all, clothe yourself with love. You know why? Because that binds everything together in perfect harmony. I grew up in a church, and one of the things I love about my heritage in my church was four-part harmony. You could sit in church, and it was like sitting in a choir in a lot of churches. It was like you're sitting in the middle of a choir. It's awesome. And some churches would even split them up. They put the bass over here, and the sopranos, and the tenors, and the altos, and we'd da-da-da-da-da. We'd do all those things, and we'd sing in harmony. And it was beautiful. He's saying love is the thing that brings that together. And a lot of you may not know music. And if we hit a bad note up here, you might not ever hear it because you don't know music. But most people know when they hear a guitar that's completely out of tune. They may not know why. They don't understand it. But they hear the dissonance of that. And I think our world is that way. A lot of people don't know why the world is so out of tune and so out of kilter. It's because we've forgotten how to love. We've forgotten the thing that we ought to clothe ourselves with more. The new nature of Christ could be defined as love. Love. Agape love. Love that loves because of who you are, not because of who they are. And that's really, basically whose you are. Y'all feel really bad. Can I just back up for a minute? I feel really bad in a way that I even brought up the whole political thing because I feel like some of you are like reeling on that a little bit. And I'm not going to apologize for what I said, but I am going to ask you to stop worrying about it and move on with this text, okay? And maybe it's me, not you. I get a little nervous when I start doing that. It's like saying Roll Tide from the stage. Half the people are mad at you just like that, right? If you say War Chicken, War Eagle, that's all. You know, good. No, yeah. If I start doing that kind of stuff, they say in preaching school, don't talk about Bama football and don't talk about politics from the stage. And I don't. I haven't and traditionally done that. I'm just, when people start lifting Jesus, or lifting other people above Jesus, that bothers me. I don't care who it is. And I said that. So I love you. Love creates harmony. I said recently at Jonathan's funeral that death and pain are the great equalizer. That in the moment of someone that you love who's gone, you kind of forget. You forget anything bad, and you start thinking about the good. That's the way love works. It brings about harmony in a moment when there's so much dissonance and difficulty. And so, here's some results. If you want to know what the results are of living a Christ-centered, supreme life, here's your next blanks, and that is peace and gratitude. Peace and gratitude. He says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, there's that unity. As members of one body, you are called to live in peace and to always give thanks. It kind of astounds me that Paul always winds up in a lot of his writings and things with these two words, peace and gratitude. Peace and gratitude really mend brokenness. The word peace itself is literally the completion of a broken circle. And when the circle gets broken, the only way to put that back together sometimes is peace and just to be at peace. Scripture teaches us to be at peace with all men as much as it is within you. You can't control everybody else. But Paul is saying, when you come to Christ and he permeates your life, then the work of God brings peace and gratitude in your life. God does the work vertically. We do the work horizontally. God comes into our life and he grants us peace. Paul even describes it in one place as peace that you cannot understand. It goes beyond understanding. That in the room when everything else is chaos and pandemonium, we're at rest. Even sometimes, if on the outside, I look like I'm all out of kilter, and I can get there, I promise you. If you stop me and ask me deep down inside if I had peace, I have to say yes, because I have Christ in my life. And then finally, he ends this way. The result of a life of peace and gratitude that's lived for Christ. And I put four blanks here, and I think I probably misappropriated a word. I'll show you that in a minute, what I mean by that. But the four blanks, if you want to fill in your blanks, are teaching, wisdom, praise, and worship. And here's what the text says. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. What is the message about Christ? I grew up being taught that the message about Christ was the Bible. Everything in the Bible, all the things, the rule, anything that's in the Bible is the message about Christ. And that is the central meaning behind Scripture. But the real message about Christ is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said that. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. And I want to tell you something. Every time you get filled up with Jesus, something happens. Something usually comes out of your mouth. Praise, teaching. He even uses the word, and the word I might have misappropriated would be counsel. Because he says to teach and counsel each other with all wisdom. So you could say teach and counsel with wisdom, and then praise and worship. And when those things are, when Jesus is permeating your life, if he's everything there is about your life in you, then you're going to do something else. You're going to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. Very interesting passage here. How many of you, could, by show of hands, grew up in a Church of Christ, a conservative Church of Christ? There's several of you guys here. Okay, all right. I would say how many of you didn't, but that'd be everybody else. In our church, we took this verse and we made it say something that it can't say. We completely pulled it out of its context and made it say something that it doesn't say. And I just want you guys to just hear what just happened in that. And so what he's saying in all this text is Christ is supreme in your life, and all these things come in. You get rid of all these things in your life, the sexual immorality, the impurity, all those things. All of that stuff leaves your life. And then you have Christ come in and make you a new creation. You are a new creation in him. And all these things become new, and you become humble and gentle and peaceable and kind and all of these things. And then he gets to this verse and he says, let that love, that message dwell in you richly, and be sure you don't use a piano in worship. Now, they're laughing because that's how we interpreted that passage, and it's completely out of its context. He's saying that when Jesus is supreme in your life, you're going to sing. You're going to praise. You're going to honor. You're going to have all of these things in your life to do that. And I remember reading this passage in Ephesians 5, which I've told you already. Ephesians and Colossians are just pretty much side by side. You could just read them right together. They sound almost like the same book, probably written at the same time. And all these things, these themes go together all the time. And in that book, in Ephesians 5, he says, get drunk on the Spirit. And when you do, you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What a beautiful thing to just read the Bible. To just read the Bible. Teach, counsel, praise, worship. Give it to God. The natural outpouring of a Christ follower ought to be teaching, counseling and helping, and praising and worshiping. It's just this natural outpouring. Do you know somebody in your life that's far from Christ? You know somebody in your life that don't know who Jesus is? And their life is chaos. And they're letting the world and everything that happens in the world just upset them to no end. And you're sitting there going, if you just had the peace that I have. If you just had the joy that I have. Can I just challenge you to say that to them? Not arrogantly.
Well, if you had what I had, you wouldn't be acting that way. That's not what I'm saying.
But it's challenging people to say, if you just knew what was here, you wouldn't be so worried about what was going on over there. And I'll be honest with you. Can I just be transparent? Is that okay? I struggle with this. I struggle with it. So easy for me to get bent out of shape about all these things. I was sharing before this service today is getting my head clear between my ears to thinking about all the things that I am out of control. I don't have any control over. I don't have any control over it that I try to control. It's a job, man. And it's a job I want to release to the Lord. Because he says at the end of this passage, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If you can't do it as a representative of Jesus, you don't need to do it. Is that as clear as you can say that passage is? And here's the thing, the opposite of that is, if you can do something to the glory of Jesus, whatever it is, by all means, go do it. Don't miss a blessing because you're too scared. Don't miss a blessing because you don't want to step into somebody else's life and say something that you shouldn't say. Well, not saying anything's going to let them just be lost. Man, don't do that. Let's give them what we know. Give them eternal life and bless them with who Jesus is. Will you stand with me? Prayer team, would you take your place today? Song we sung a bit ago said, I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. Too many of us are trying to do all this on our own and do it without any assistance from the one, the only one who can really help us be who we need to be. Would you just give up on that right now? Would you just give up and surrender and give yourself an opportunity? You can go to any of these prayer warriors that are standing around this room. They're all around the back. They're at the front up here. And just go and pray with somebody. Ask the Lord to come deep, more deeply in your life. Ask him to be a part of who you are. And he will. He doesn't not want to be. He really wants to be. He wants to control everything in your life. Not in a controlling way, but in a way that says, I created you. I created you. Now go and be who I created you to be. And when that happens, you're going to feel that harmony. You're going to feel that love. You're going to see exactly what it is that God wants you to do or be. And if you don't know what that is, we'll help you. We'd love to help you. We'd be honored to help you do that and to find it. If you need prayer, please step out at any time. At any time. Father, as we end this service today, God, I just want to praise you and honor you. To know that you are our victory, that you are all that there is in our life that matters. God, please overcome my craziness and my inabilities and my miscommunication or anything that I may have said that distracted from your word and your message, Lord, please. And overrule and bless and heal. God, help us to trust in nothing but you. Thank you, Father, for loving us through whatever it is that we've done, the choices that we've made, the failures we've had, and continue to have, God. Thank you that you not only forgave us yesterday, but you forgive us today and you'll forgive us tomorrow. Thank you for that kind of love and that kind of peace that we can have in you. Help us to live in your victory, Lord. Through Christ I pray. Amen.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna sing victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle.
The only way to see a victory, the only way to see it at all, is to stop striving within yourself and to let Him be the victory in your life. Come on, church, can we get an amen right there? I'm telling you, it's the only way. It's the only way for you to stop striving, stop fighting, stop pushing against Him, just let it go and come follow Him. I promise you things might get more complicated in your life, but I can promise you that He is there for you always. And the end result is a deep relationship with Him. It's unlike anything in your life ever. So please, please don't miss this opportunity today. I appreciate you so much, you guys, for listening well and being a part of our service today. The prayer team is still up here. They're still around the room. And as we dismiss and you're hearing music play and people are leaving, and listen, don't run out. And if you need somebody to pray with you, just come get us afterwards, whatever. We want to be able to help any way that we can. If you did not complete a connection card, I would ask you to do that if you're new with us and never have. And also, to all of our partners in our church, this is at the end of our service is when we do our tithes and offerings. There are two black boxes on the walls as you leave the auditorium. Please make sure you go by. If you haven't already given online, and there's lots of ways to do that, you can just go online, go get the app, or go to our website at discoveryal.church. In any way that we can help you do that, we will. I love you. I honor you. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. God bless. You're dismissed. Yeah.